Welcome to this message from the Crossroads Campus of Charter Oak Church in Greensburg, Pennsylvania. Pastor Jonathan Hartland returns to bring the final message in the series Noah, Out of Your Comfort Zone, looking at Genesis chapter 8, verses 13 through 22. You've heard it before. God is more interested in your character than he is in your comfort. Noah is a lesson in that truth. Here's Pastor John.
Last week, we started talking about Noah. You know Noah, the guy that built a boat on dry land, that gathered the animals together and saved them from the flood. We used this very ancient story of Noah to teach a very valuable lesson for us today, and the lesson was this, that there's a difference between compliance and obedience. There's a difference between compliance and obedience. And this touches literally every single thing you do because everything we all do is done either out of compliance or obedience. Compliance is doing something because we have to. Obedience is doing something because we want to do it, because we see the value in it. And if you are here today because you have at least some interest in following God is very simple. Sometimes we overcomplicate it, but it's very simple. If we want to follow God, all we are called to do is to know God's word and do what it says. And we are called to know God's word and do what it says, not because we have to. Not because our parents told us, not because we're used to getting up on Sunday mornings for some meaningless ritual. God wants us to know his word and do what it says because we want to do it. Because we love him and we trust him and we see the value in leading a lifestyle that he prescribes that we know is the absolute best lifestyle to lead. That's where we were last week. This week, we're going to use that story of Noah again to teach us an equally important lesson. That if we want to know God's word and do what it says, that is absolutely going to take us outside of our comfort zone. Following God is going to take us outside of our comfort zone. Now, that's a very scary conversation to have because it's uncomfortable. We like to be in our comfort zones. A comfort zone is a zone of comfort, right? A comfort zone is like your bed, right? You guys remember all the way back, I can't believe it was only a few days ago, but do you remember last Wednesday morning when you woke up to 4 or 5 inches of snow? When the forecast just called for snow all day and by goodness it snowed all day? If you're anything like me, the only place you wanted to be on the planet was in your bed, right? But you can't stay in bed all day, right? Right? How? Who has discovered the secret on how to stay in bed all day? Because if you discovered this and how to earn a living, please let me know. That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. No, most of us can't. I think I know who said that, and that person's retired, so I understand. Like Rachel sang, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've lived that life." But for a long time, you know, you had to get up, right? Out of bed. We can't, most of us can't stay in bed all day, right? We can't do that. We have kids to raise. We have jobs to get to unless we're retired. We have friends to visit. We have activities to enjoy. We have life to live, right? Right? We can't stay in bed all day. A car can't stay in a garage. A boat can't stay in the safe harbor because boats were meant to sail. Cars were meant to be driven and enjoyed. We human beings were made to live life. And life begins at the end of our comfort zone. It really does. There's this concept in anthropology, actually. There's the comfort zone, and then there's this thing right outside the comfort zone called the liminal zone. Have you ever heard of this? It's the liminality is the place right outside of comfort, right outside of safety. And even if you've never heard this term before, you've experienced it many times in your life. Swimming pools have liminal zones. You know what that is? It's when the bottom starts to slope down to the deep end. It's a liminal zone. Do you remember when you were so young, you didn't know how to swim, but you were just walking in the shallow end, and then that one day you're like, what's this? You know, you had to stand on your tippy toes, so you know, to keep your head above water. Do you remember that? It's a scary place, but it's where you learned to swim, wasn't it? You learned to swim in that liminal zone. Or when your parents were teaching you how to ride a bike, and it's that moment that they just let go of the seat. You start wobbling a little bit, maybe even fall over once or twice, but that's a liminal zone. That's where you learn how to ride your bike and how to balance. African tribes will send their kids out beyond the safety of their village in their adulthood rituals, out beyond the borders of safety. And when they come back after a set amount of days, after they come back from that liminal zone, they're considered men, right? In our culture, a liminal zone is an apprenticeship or an internship. It's a place of transition. It's a place of change. It's how we get from where we are to where we're called to be. That's what a liminal zone is. A comfort zone. A comfort zone. That's a good thing. Nothing wrong with a comfort zone. It's a place of relaxing and recharging. But do you know what doesn't happen in a comfort zone? Growth. Growth doesn't happen in a comfort zone. In fact, that's a great definition of a comfort zone. If you examine your life and you figure out that there is some area in your life where you are not growing, there's a very good chance that you are stuck in some kind of comfort zone. And man, whatever your comfort zone is, it's when you have the courage to step out that you really start to grow and you really start becoming the person that you were called to be. Now today we're going to journey with Noah as he literally steps out, as he steps out of the boat onto dry land. Now we found out last week that Noah was obedient to his call by God in building the boat and gathering the animals up and putting them on that boat as the flood water started to rise. And now we're on the boat with Noah, literally nothing around us but water. But we're safe within the boat. Let's take a look at what Noah's going through. We're in the book of Genesis in the Bible, and you are free to follow along with us in your Bibles on an app. Of course, we have it up here. Incidentally, if you don't have a physical copy of a Bible and you want one, we would love to give you one. You can meet us back in our Connect area after the service. We'd love to hook you up with that. But for right now, we're in the book of Genesis, first book of the Bible. We're in chapter 8, verses 13 through 22. Here's what's going on with Noah. Noah was now 601 years old. Oh man. On the first day of the new year, 10 and a half months after the flood began, the floodwaters had almost dried up from the earth. Noah lifted back the covering of the boat and saw that the surface of the ground was drying. Two more months went by, and at last the earth was dry. Then God said to Noah, "Leave the boat, all of you. You and your wife," God said to Noah, "leave the boat, all of you. You and your wife, your sons and their wives. Release all the animals, the birds, the livestock, and the small animals that scurry along the ground, so they can be fruitful and multiply throughout the earth." So Noah, his wife, and his sons and their wives left the boat. And all the large and small animals and birds came out of the boat, pair by pair. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord. And there he sacrificed his burnt offerings, the animals and birds that had been approved for that purpose. And the Lord was pleased with the aroma of the sacrifice. And he said to himself, "I will never again curse the ground because of the human race, even though everything they think or imagine is bent toward evil from childhood. I will never again destroy all living things. As long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night." Now, most of us know the story of Noah, even if we're not yet Christians. But do we let the story of Noah affect our lives? Today, we're going to allow this story of Noah to teach about our comfort zones and maybe even how to get out of it. Three steps to get outside of our comfort zones. The first point is this. The first step is is up to you. The first step is up to you, and I want you to know that today. If you are stuck in a comfort zone, taking that first step out is on you. I promise you that God will not force you to do anything. Your boss at work, if you have one, will not force you into promotion. Hey, you don't even have to get out of bed in the morning if you don't want to. You have to take that first step out. Now, Noah right now is in a crucial part of his journey. Let's pick this back up again in verse 13. Again, Noah was 601 years old. On the first day of the new year, it's been 10 and a half months that he's been on the water. This flood water is almost dried up from the earth. He lifted back the covering of the boat and saw that the surface of the ground was drying. Now, this is 10 and a half months. It takes 2 more months for the ground to completely dry. What that means is that Noah's been on this boat for over a year. This boat, I think, was Noah's comfort zone. Do you agree with that? Maybe you don't. Maybe you're thinking, man, if I was on that boat, there's no way that would be a comfort zone to me. We're talking every animal that existed, all the waste of every animal that existed. And speaking of every animal, we're also talking about being in a confined space with your family. For over a year, and I got to be very careful with what I say because some of my family's here today, and I love my family. I love my family. I'm obligated to say that I love my family. But if I, they're smiling, that's good. They were smiling in the first service too. We're good. But even though I love my family, legit, if I was stuck with them in a confined space for a year, it would turn into The Shining at some point, right? You would think that Noah would want to run, sprint off this boat, right? How can it be his comfort zone? Not necessarily. You know, the thing about a comfort zone is that it's not necessarily comfortable. Comfort and safety are not necessarily the hallmarks of a comfort zone. You know what I think is the hallmark of a comfort zone? Familiarity. I think that's the number one thing that makes a comfort zone for most of us. Yeah, that ark was probably nasty after a year, no matter how good Noah and his family were at cleaning it up. But if Noah was a man like most of us, who don't like change, then this was probably his comfort zone, no matter how nasty that boat was. And he probably didn't want to get off. Isn't that true for us sometimes? Sometimes we like to stay in one place, not because it's safe, not because it's comfortable, but just because it's familiar. Best to stick with the devil you know. Isn't that the saying? That's how we can justify staying in dead-end jobs. That's how we can justify staying in abusive relationships. It's most often called a comfort zone. Maybe it's better called a familiar zone. Whatever you call it, the first step out is up to you. The first step out is the hardest. And the first step out is the hardest because we don't know what's out there. We don't. But check this out. If you today are interested in knowing God's word and doing what it says, then listen very closely to this. God called Noah out of the boat, and he is calling you out of your comfort zone. A journey with God will always involve you getting outside of what you are familiar with and oftentimes what you're comfortable with. You know why? Because he wants you to grow. He wants you to grow. How? Closer to him. Closer to him. What's your next step? I have no idea. I don't know what your next step is specifically because it's different for every single person. But in general, your next step is established by God. let's be honest, everything we've talked about up to this point, you could read in a business manual or a personal development guide, right? Any self-help book will tell you to get outside of your comfort zone to grow, right? This is a truth for me, and I have no idea if it's true for your life, but I'm going to tell you what's true for my life. If my steps weren't established by God, I wouldn't want to get out of my comfort zone. I wouldn't. I understand why people who are not guided by God want to stay in the same place for the reasons we just talked about, because it's scary. I understand why a person who's not guided by God would want to stay in one place. I don't understand why a Christian would want to stay in the same place. I consider it a gamble to venture into the unknown guided by myself. I don't consider it a gamble at all to venture into the unknown with the God of the universe guiding me. I just don't. But listen very closely to what I said. No matter if you are trusting in yourself or trusting in God, you are still venturing into the unknown. Let's see what's next for Noah. We're in verse 15. Then God said to Noah, leave the boat. All of you, you and your wife, your sons, your wives, release all the animals, the birds, the livestock, the small animals that scurry along the ground, so they can be fruitful and multiply throughout the earth. If you pay very close attention, Noah receives his next step from God. You know what Noah doesn't receive? It's the whole picture. He never does. If you look very closely at Noah's life or any biblical figure or anybody in the human history who has followed God, we get our next step, and then we get our next step, and then we get our next step. God does that for a very specific reason we'll talk about in a second, but just look back at Noah's life for an example. God came to Noah, said what? Build a boat. Gather the animals, put them on a boat. Okay. What's after that? I don't know. Just do it. Noah was obedient to God, and he did it. Now we're at a point in Noah's life where God says, get off the boat. Empty earth. God, can you help me with this reestablishing civilization thing? How do we do that? We'll get there. Just get off the boat, Noah. Noah didn't know the end of the story, and that's how God directed Noah. And that's how God directs us. So what did Noah do? Noah, his wife, and his sons, and their wives, left the boat. And all the large and small animals and birds came out of the boat, pair by pair. I will promise you that God wants to take you on an amazing journey. I promise you that. God wants to take you to a place where you help a whole bunch of people in your life. And being obedient to God is so terribly simple. It's just taking your next step. That's all it is. That's tough on us. This understanding that it's just finding out what our next step is and taking it, that's tough on us because we like to be in control and we like to have the whole picture before we take the next step. We like to have it all planned out. That's kind of how we, especially in our culture, are wired. We want the digital picture version of God's will for us. You know what that is? When we take a selfie and we don't like it, what do? We can delete it, right? Right? That's what we do with God's will. It really is. So many of us who kind of sort of desire to do God's will for us, we get a sense of what our next steps are. Whether that comes through somebody telling us or whether that comes through just a wonderful desire and a passion that we have. So many of us get that picture, get that next step, let's say. And so many of us will say, nah, I don't want to do that one. What's next, God? We swipe right, we swipe right, we swipe right. On God's will, right? That's why I don't think God gives us the entire picture. That's why I think God perfectly establishes his plan by just establishing our next step, next step, next step, because if we got the whole picture, man, we would probably freak out. I think God's picture develops much more like a Polaroid, if you're old enough to remember that. Develops slowly. I can tell you from my own life, if you would have went back in time and told 20-year-old John what 37-year-old John would be doing, 20-year-old John would have ran in the other direction. 20-year-old John would have gotten back in bed. But then 25, 26-year-old John started letting God establish his steps. And it happened step after step after step, and here we are. Proverbs 16:9 says, "The heart of man wants to plan his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." Is the Lord establishing your steps? Is the Lord establishing your steps? You have to make that decision. He's not going to force you. The first step is your choice. The next steps are established by God. And third, every step is an exercise in trust. If you get to the point in your life where you are really placing your trust in God, he's going to ask you to do something that is so counterintuitive to human beings. He's going to ask you to walk by faith and not by sight. Walk by faith and not by sight. Have you ever felt like Indiana Jones felt here?
It's a leap of faith. God, you must believe, boy. You must believe.
When you put your trust in God, it's going to be scary. When you walk that path with God, you're going to be taken to a place that initially, especially, feels very scary. That liminal zone that we talked about, it's going to be a place that stretches you. It's going to be a place of growth. And if it wasn't scary, it wouldn't be a place of growth. Man, your journey with God, your walk with God is all about God teaching you one very simple lesson. God wants to teach you trust. He wants to teach you how to trust yourself less and less, and how to trust yourself more and more. And that can only happen outside of your comfort zone. And when I say life begins at the end of your comfort zone, what I mean is your new life begins at the end of your comfort zone. Your new life with God in charge and God directing your steps, not us. At least that's how Noah lived. Here's what Noah did after he left the boat. Verse 20. "Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and there he sacrificed his burnt offerings, the animals and birds that had been approved for that purpose. The Lord was pleased with that aroma of the sacrifice and said to himself, 'I will never again curse the ground because of the human race, even though everything they think or imagine is bent toward evil from childhood. I will never again destroy all living things. As long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night.'" This is Noah at the end of his journey. And again, if God would have told him the whole plan right from the beginning, we wouldn't blame Noah if he would have ran in the opposite direction. But because God gave him step after step after step, here we are. Nature and humanity restored. Life literally began at the end of Noah's comfort zone. And then don't miss this. One of the most incredible things God has ever said, look, I will never again curse the ground because of the human race. Never. Even though everything they think or imagine is bent toward evil from childhood. That doesn't paint a very positive picture of humanity, does it? But please remember this. God didn't create you because he had to. God created you because he desperately wanted to. Does that sound familiar? We then are called to return that great love by following God, not because we have to or are obligated to do it, but because we want to do it and because it's our pleasure to do it. God took a gamble making human beings, didn't he? He took a huge gamble giving us this crazy gift called free will that we could have used to abandon God and turn against him and rebel against him. And we did. And we do. So if you are the God of the universe, what do you do? What do you do with this creation that constantly rebels against you and just doesn't listen to what you have to say? What do you do? Once upon a time, God hit the reset button, but he vowed never to do that again. So now what do? About this humanity that constantly defies you. Here's what our God did. He doesn't destroy, he forgives. And when I say forgive, I don't mean forgive like snapping God's finger because the weight of our sin is far too heavy for that. Just like Noah sacrificed when he got off the boat, the weight of our sin is so heavy and so terrible, if I may use that word, that it demands a sacrifice. 2,000 years ago, God himself provided the sacrifice. The week before Jesus Christ went to the cross, he demonstrated going so far out of your comfort zone. Jesus Christ is the model for us getting outside of our comfort zone, isn't he? Let's just list everything that happened to him during this thing that we call Holy Week. Every single person that he had invested in for the last 3 years, every single one of his friends, the people he loved, every one of them abandoned him. At his most desperate hour, they all ran, every one of them. He was beaten, he was tortured, he was put on trial by his own people and by human beings. Jesus Christ was found guilty. Jesus was. They put him on a cross for it. A cross that he had to carry by himself up the hill, by the way. Jesus died on that cross. They tore him off of it and they threw him in a tomb. He went so far outside of his comfort zone during this Holy Week and he did it all for us. Can I ask you just one question? Is Jesus Christ worthy of your trust? Is Jesus Christ worthy of your love? I want to just leave you with one verse that is so worth you printing out and putting on your mirror or your dresser or wherever you will see it often during the day. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. I don't know what the next step for you is. I don't know. I don't know if it's to build a boat. It might be. I don't know if it's to get baptized. I don't know if it's to jump in one of our small groups to start serving. I don't know if your next step is just to come back here and worship with us next week and to bring somebody with you. But whatever your next step is, please take it. Because I want you to know for yourself that life begins at the end of your comfort zone. Let's pray about it. Lord God, You challenge us, don't you? You ask us to lead a different lifestyle than the way that this world has established. And that's no secret. Lord God, it is different. And at least your word says it is better. And that's an understatement. Father God, would that we follow you. It's so difficult, Father. Daddy, it's so difficult. The temptations are everywhere to not follow you, to go back to our old way of life, to stay inside of our comfort zone because the world says, stay in bed. If it feels good, do it. Oh, Father God, you invite us into such a more joyful and fulfilling existence. Father God, would you just melt our hearts of stone today to follow you? May we follow you, Lord God. May we want to follow you, Daddy. Lord God, would you very clearly show me my next step? And would you give me the courage to take it? And it's in your precious Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for spending this time in worship with all of us here at Charter Oak Church in Westmoreland County, Pennsylvania. We've wrapped up the newest series, and next week we'll kick off a new one, so we hope you'll join us then. In the meantime, if you'd like to learn more about the church or any of its three campuses, please check out our website at www.charteroak.church. God bless, and hope to see you next week.